there are no shortcuts. There is no magic pill. There is no magic bean. It's really about, are you willing to roll your sleeves up, get your hands dirtier than the person next to you, and really go for what you want in life? It's really that simple.
Is your business struggling right now? You might think that it's because you don't have enough sales, but the reality is it's because you don't have the attention of the marketplace. This is attention equals dollars. You deserve more. Your business deserves more. And I'm here to teach you everything that I know on how to get the attention that you need and to turn that attention into dollars. Hey, welcome to the Attention Equals Dollars podcast. I'm your host, Luke Nessler, where each week we come to you from the Impact Media Studios to talk to you about how to master digital attention and transform your business. This is your blueprint, your roadmap to how do you get people to think of you as the expert, get attention on your brand and what you're doing, and most importantly, actually turn that into something significant for your business and most often sales. That's what we're going after. I bring my expert friends to you. I bring my expert knowledge to you so that we can help you transform your business, so that we can teach you what others have learned and how they've found success. Today, I am super, super excited about my guest, which I'm going to intro in just a second. Hard work and dedication are two things that are required in athletes and in business people. And I've said for a very long time, the best employees, the hardest working people, were those that were former athletes at either the amateur level or even the professional level. My guest today is somebody that understands hard work and dedication both on the field as well as in the conference room, in the business setting. My guest today is Marcus Ogden. He played for the NFL for 5 years for the Titans, the Bills, the Ravens, and the Jaguars. He's a best-selling author of Sleepless Nights, The NFL, A Family and Business. And now he's a motivational speaker. He's somebody that I look up to, somebody that I've already learned a lot from. He's somebody that motivates, inspires, encourages, and educates massive crowds. Marcus, I'm super excited for you to be on the show today. You're going to be able to help the audience a lot and teach them a lot. Welcome to the Attention Equals Dollars podcast.
How you doing, Luke? Thanks for having me on, my friend.
Man, absolutely. It's a pleasure. We've been getting to know each other over the last month or so from our friends at Two Market Media in New York. And I got to say, I've been super impressed with your story. You've been on a couple of our mutual acquaintances podcasts, and you've got a heck of a story that I'd like to also tap into, because a lot of people, I think there's the misconception of success just comes easy. And you're a prime example of you absolutely can be successful, but it certainly is not an easy task. And it's something that you've lived. Would you agree?
Absolutely. To me, success is what you're able to attain through hard work, grit, and determination. Are you someone, because I tell people all the time, life's going to knock you down, period. You're going to have ups, downs, curves, sways. When you get knocked down or when you are at that low point, are you going to stay there or are you going to rise to the top? So many people say, oh, I want success. Oh, I want, you know, to be the best. Oh, how do I achieve this? How do I achieve that? Well, in reality, what I'm thinking you're asking is, what are the shortcuts to get there? And there are no shortcuts. There is no magic pill. There is no magic bean. It's really about, are you willing to roll your sleeves up, get your hands dirtier than the person next to you, and really go for what you want in life? It's really that simple. But it's so hard to live because, like you say, Luke, nobody wants to work for a living anymore.
Right. There's so many gurus out there that teach the get rich quick scheme, that this is the secret to your success. And one of the things that I love about you is knowing that you don't buy into any of that, because getting to the NFL, there is no secret sauce. There is no get rich quick scheme in that. From Pop Warner to middle school to high school to college athletics, there is no secret to an easy path on there. Talk about what you learned from the field and your journey as an athlete, as a professional athlete. And you know, the NFL, everybody says it stands for not for long, but you had a 5-year career. So yeah, that's not something that comes without a lot of hard work. So what did you learn from being on the field that has really helped you push through some pretty hard times in business?
The number one thing I've learned, other than, of course, I learned some great leadership lessons from Bill Belichick. But, and those three lessons were, create a vision, practice your craft daily, and be accountable to your teammates. But the probably most powerful thing I ever heard in my career was when Jack Del Rio told the draft class. It was nine drafted guys, and the rest of us were undrafted. The rest were undrafted. I was one of the nine drafted guys. He told the whole rookie class, if you're going to be successful in life, you have to be your own CEO, period. You have to do things to raise your stock, come to work on time, stay late, work hard on the field, get a veteran to work with you on your craft, partner up with somebody, get beat in practice and learn how to get better so you don't get beat in the game. Or you can decrease your value, but you can basically come to work late, you can leave early, you cannot ask for help, you can do all these other things, but at the end of the day, that's gonna decrease your value. So Jack told us to always be our own CEO. And I'll never forget him telling me that. And it was April of 2003. We were just drafted. We were about to go out to our first rookie mini camp. He said, all of you guys in here have a chance to make the team. If you're going to be your own CEO and take the charge, you can do it. If you're not going to do it, then you're going to be, it's going to be up to you from there.
I love it. What were some of the things that, obviously, as a player, you've got to do something to stand out and catch the attention of the coach. And obviously, talent is a big part of it. But were there any things that you learned being an athlete that going the extra mile, doing the extra rep, whatever it is, to really stand out and grab the attention of the decision makers at that time, which is your coaching staff?
Absolutely.
Was there anything you learned there that transitioned into business?
I'll say this, like workout attendance. A lot of guys want to go work out on their own. If you're a 10-year veteran, you can do that. If you're a rookie or a first-year guy that's trying to impress your staff, yeah, you might be able to go out and get some training somewhere else. It might be a little bit different. But the NFL teams all have strength coaches. I have always found it's better to stay, if you're a young guy, stay with your team and get in there with their training, with their strength coach, with the program that they design, and show you're dedicated. I always maintain a 100% workout rate throughout my whole career. Off season, season, I never missed a workout. If we had like 2 weeks off, I was still there. When it came time for non-mandatory volunteer camps, I was always there. When it came time to lift weights during the off season, I was always there, wherever team I was on. And that, along with talent that I had developed, allowed me to go from team to team. If I got a bad situation with a coaching staff or a new staff came in, or I had a one-year deal, or I had an injury or whatever happened, I was always able to catch back on because people knew my work ethic was that high. That's just the way it was. So I just ended up having some bad things. Like in Buffalo, I was doing great, playing there, loved it. Mike Mularkey loved me. Everything was great. Mike Mularkey got fired the next year. My old line coach in Baltimore loved me. I was playing, everything was going great, and he was decided I was looking to really get some good playing time along for a full year. And that next year, my old line coach resigned because he didn't get the offensive coordinator job. So I had a lot of coaching turnover, and that's what people understand. Like, you could be the best athlete, but if you have some coaching turnover and things like that happen, the best way to stay in the league is to always get that reputation of being a guy that works out all the time. Because that's going to get around to other guys in other scouting teams.
So something that, you know, when Marcus is saying this, something that he's saying that I think a way that you can – I always try to find a way to relate what I do as a businessman to how professional athletes go about their craft. So, you know, Marcus, when you're going through all of this, you're working as hard as you can, and there are going to be things that are out of your control. Somebody leaves, a new coaching staff comes in, right, and they clean house. That's something that you can't control. And there's a lot of things in business that you can't control. But correct, something that I've realized is most of the time, business owners are always playing defense, especially when promoting themselves. They're always reacting to things. They do nothing to make sure that when something does go wrong, they've set up a scenario that they'll be able to overcome it. So all the hard work, all the dedication, all the positive attention that you got on yourself when you were an athlete, all of the things that were uncontrollable from your standpoint, you were able to overcome them because of all the work you put up to that point. If the coaching staff in his house, all the work that you did up to that point is what allowed you to survive. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Just like in business, when you have a company It's your job to lay the foundation. It's your job to be out there marketing. It's your job to be out there networking. It's your job to be out there closing sales. So if things happen, like, you know, a client that you work with might go out of business. You know, a client that you did a lot of work for might move across the country or might not want to work with you anymore because they don't want to work that kind of distance. You know, all that kind of stuff happens. You know, a guy at one of your big clients, the guy that you work with, let's say he gets fired or he quits and bring a new guy into his position. He doesn't like you. He likes another company. So he's going to go with that company instead of your services. Same thing. Like, but if you have the reputation throughout the industry that you're an expert at what you do, that you market well, that you convert into sales well, that you deliver a great product, you get testimonials, and you can scale your business. It doesn't matter if you have a couple clients go away from you. You're always going to keep having good business come back to you from other sources. Same thing in football. I got the same thing in football. Coaches came in, new ones. I went somewhere else, found another coach staff that liked me, played a couple years there. That's just the way it was. I mean, and that's what happens to a lot of guys. Like when coaches leave, new coaches come and they want their guys. It's just the way it is.
It's again, even if you weren't an athlete, even if you're not a CEO, you have to have that killer mentality, that outwork type of a mindset to where the reason athletes win is because they're willing to do more than their competitor. The reason CEOs are successful is they take complete ownership that they're in control of everything. Aaron, you know, again, our director, he's the CEO of his own life. He might work for me, but he's completely in control of how successful he's going to be. And that's something that I think a lot of even business professionals operate like a low level executive or not even an executive when really they're not operating like an athlete. They're not operating like a CEO, and it costs them when it comes to incoming business, incoming sales, and just being in business and surviving.
Absolutely. Because you're relying on someone else to do what you should be doing. And when you're not doing the dirty work yourself, when you're not going, it's like me, like this podcast, met a company called Strategic Veteran Initiative, you know, something SVI, something like that. The lady asked me, was I a veteran? I said, no, both my grandfather served in World War II, uncle in Vietnam. I support veterans. She said, oh, that's great. Tell me more about it. So I said, I told a little bit more about my story. I said, you guys ever need a speaker? She said, absolutely, we need speakers. So she said, let's set up a call. We're talking next Tuesday. You know, when someone reaches out to me like that, I've learned to kind of feel them out. And I've been doing this long enough through doing it myself, being in the trenches, to know someone wants to talk to me about speaking or what's looking to waste my time. So I've learned to evaluate. But if when people, but here's the thing, if you're going to, whatever you do in life, people buy you. Whatever you're selling is secondary, but they buy you. You're the commodity that they are buying. If they believe in you, trust in you, they're going to buy your product. If they don't like you, don't trust you, don't think you're the right person, they're not going to buy your product.
Let's dive into that deeper. So because I say the exact same thing. Everything that anybody sells can be bought from somebody else. If you sell insurance, I can get it from somebody else. We sell marketing, you can get that from anybody. The reason people hire us, the reason people are going to hire you is because they resonate with you. So if you're doing a great job of it, your business is going to grow. If you're not doing a good job of promoting yourself, positioning yourself as the authority, getting attention on your personal brand, that's where you're going to fail. And that's really what this podcast is about, is how do you get attention and then capitalize on that? So, and you just alluded to it. So now, you know, NFL, you decided it's time for the next chapter of my life. You went through some ups and downs with a construction business.
Yep.
Let's talk about where you're at now. So you're helping people not make the mistakes that maybe you made, helping people find massive success, motivating, educating, and empowering people. How are you getting attention on you, on Marcus Ogden, and separating yourself from all the other people out there? Because just like marketing experts, there are a ton of motivational speakers, but the majority of them haven't been through a journey like you have. So how are you telling that story and getting that out there?
And there's that right there, Luke. That is how I stand out. I am not a leadership expert. I'm not a professional development expert. I'm Marcus Ogden, a personality. You're going to buy my story. Nobody else can tell it. Nobody else has lived it. In my story are going to be leadership points, or transition points, or perseverance points, or how to improve sales points. Whatever you need me to talk about on the backside for teaching, I can accommodate you. But you are buying my story. If you want to be have an audience get inspired and educated through a masterful presentation that's visual, eye-catching, and has great teaching points, I'm your guy. Once I started to position myself here recently as that, that has helped my business tenfold. Because, again, there's so many leadership experts. There's so many professional development experts. There's only one you.
I love that. So what are some ways specifically that you're, you know, when I think of NFL player, I think of, man, they're going to have a huge ego because they're one of the, they're the alpha males. They're going to be intimidating. That some of them might even be mean. You go completely against everything that I think of when I think of a former professional athlete. You're kind, you're a likable guy, but at the same time, you're a powerhouse that when somebody sees, they're like, wow, like that, man, that guy's impressive, but you're not so scary and intimidating that people can't approach you. So that's what I've gotten from the content you put out. What are some ways that you put content out there and tell your story so that people really get you, where you've been, the struggles you've overcome, and the type of person that you are? Do you have anything that you resonate with?
Yeah, I mean, I resonate with anybody who's had a struggle, which is pretty much everybody. And yes, I'm 6'6". Yes, I'm 290 pounds, and I work out all the time. But I learned from birth, really, to respect everybody, but especially women. I learned about how to treat them, how to talk to them, call them ma'am, thank you very much. Like, and that, my friend, has been the real magic bean, if there really is one, to my success. It's just being nice. Yeah. Like, you don't have to be an asshole because football is not your life. It's a job. Absolutely. It's a way to make money. So once you realize that everybody else around you is a human being and everybody else around you, if you're not better or worse than anybody else, you start to understand that and you live that way. So when I talk to, if it's a CEO, a janitor, it doesn't matter because I've been a janitor myself. I will talk to everybody the same way. Approachable, nice, say thank you very much for your time, very engaging, very, and also I'm a very good listener. When people are talking, I want them to tell me how I can help them. Because if they're talking and I'm not listening, I'm doing them an injustice. And I'm a big person on how the character, on the character, you know, on the characteristics of like having character equality, you know, equality and having from where you're talking about, you know, personality, you have your character ethics and you have your personality ethics. Character ethics are things like strength, humility, modesty, justice, courage, patience. That is character ethics. Personality ethics, deceit, injustice, you know, impatience, rage. People spend their whole lives trying to live in the personality trait of trying to prove to other people that they belong or that fake it till you make it, get rich quick scheme. That's not life. That's not going to lead you anywhere.
Absolutely.
Build on your character ethics. Build on how can you be a better you. When I lose a job, I'm like, you know what? Hey, man, I get it. You know, thanks for the feedback. I move on. Like the old me used to get rageful and angry and bitter. Oh, they're stupid. Now, like, you know what? They have their reasons. That's great. Move on. So I've just found that living life in the on the character side, you know, living that whole and on the character traits and then on the person or ethics, then on the personality side where the bad stuff lies. I try to live on the character ethics side of my life now.
Love that.
Where I'm worried about being, and the more success I have, honestly, the more modest I become. Because I'm like, this is so amazing. Like people, you know, I was at the airport, Luke, and I was getting off the plane. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. I just got back from Pennsylvania. My flight was delayed. Another story for another day. The guy was like, aren't you Marcus Ogden? And I was like, yes, sir. How are you? He said, no, man, you don't know me. I follow you on LinkedIn. Your content is inspiring. You know, you've really helped me and through some situations. I don't even know who I am, but just thank you very much for everything. You're a gifted speaker. You're one of the tops that I've seen. And just thank you. It was 1 o'clock in the morning
Of content do you put out, Mark? So when you're putting something out like that to move somebody and really not make them feel like you're trying to sell them, because that's the mistake a lot of people make. They're not putting something out to provide value. They're trying to sell. And the sale will come if people look at you as the expert. You're inspiring and moving people. Give my audience a little insight to What do you keep in mind when you're putting something on LinkedIn and putting something on Facebook or YouTube that really resonates with others?
Great question. I put stuff out that is going to have emotional attachment, but at the same time will give you teaching points. Like, for example, I put a video about my father who passed away at 57 years of age not too long ago, and it broke my heart because I was mad at him for the longest time because I thought he gave up on his life. But as I got older, I realized that my dad was tired. His quality of life had deteriorated. He just wanted to be peaceful. He wanted to kind of go home, up to heaven. I get it. So as I got older, I understood that. A lot of people said, Marcus, thank you so much. My father passed away like a month ago. I'm going through a tough time. You know, I'm relatable. You know, and when I talk, I'm not selling you on me. I'm just trying to move you with education or points from my life that could help you. Like I did a video talking about trust. To me, to build trust, you must have competency between the team, reliability, and you have to have each other's back. You know, so when you're talking about content like that or things about how, like, you know, you have to create psychologically safe environments for your employees to express themselves, to have a thriving business. Things right. like that, Luke, go so much further than saying, hey, you know, hello, I'm Marcus. I'm a public speaker and I could speak for your company and, you know, hire me for leadership. No, like yeah. it's the wrong approach. Like right. people are going to buy the story. They're not going to yes. buy the set. Like they want the meat. They don't want the appetizer. They don't want the, you know, they don't want all the fluff. They want mm-hmm. the real you. So I've been much more cognizant. I put out a video today talking about being an athlete has helped me, but it also hurt me, Luke, in my first business, because I was so used to being coached my whole life, high school, college, NFL. Mm-hmm. When I got out of the NFL to start my own company, I could finally call my own shots. And I started living an ego-driven business in my first venture, and I fell flat on my ass. Mm-hmm. So there's our good points and bad points. So I'm just telling people again, when you're an athlete, yes, there's a lot of things that are good, but just be cognizant if you are a owner of a company, don't let your ego get in the way of trying to run a business, because the ego got in my, you got in my way, Luke, and it cost me everything back in Absolutely. 2013.
And I think one of the biggest things too, because I've heard that story, and one of the biggest things is how you learn from the mistakes. You didn't make them a second time. You adjusted something you'd said, you listen. And I talk to people about this a lot, how important it is for you to listen to what your audience is interested in, what's going to bring them value, and then bring that to them. I did a live stream today and I talked about it. It's simple. Your customer, whether it's a big conference director, whether it's NBC Sports or whether it's Joe's muffler shop down the road, they are going to buy when they're ready to buy. It's right. your job to position yourself as the expert, provide value so that when they are ready to buy, they think of you first. And I think listening is a big aspect of that. I could talk about whatever I want to talk about, but I want to talk about what's going to bring you the most value. Would you agree?
Luke, live your life by this quote, my friend. I hope you remember it and your audience.
Okay.
Seek first to be understood. Seek first to understand, then to be understood.
Mm.
Listen Ooh, I like- first, talk second. Seek first to understand, then seek to be understood.
Hmm. And I think something that I see a lot now is there are a lot of people that seek to be understood before they understand. Because there's a lot of 20-year-old life coaches that haven't lived life yet. And so they're trying to be understood and they don't even understand yet. Is that what you're getting?
Yeah, because if you are seeking to understand, that means you're listening.
Yeah.
Then you seek to be understood, it means you're talking. How can you help solve a problem for a client if you talk first? Mm. You have no idea what the problem is. None. So when you talk first, it comes from a position of insecurity. You're insecure in what you're selling. And that is going to get you nowhere. Seek first to understand. It
comes from a place of insecurity. That's big.
It is, because it's like when you lead with your credentials, insecurity, lead with you, who you are, who is the person that you have become to build in your life. That's the most important thing. The credentials are the icing on the cake, but the actual cake underneath is about what you've been through.
Yeah, that's powerful. You know what? Hank and our friends at Two Market Media are always talking to me about, man, you got to be more vulnerable. You got to tell your story more. So you saying that has kind of given me permission to change up. When I'm in a client pitch or when I'm in a meeting, you know, I'll ask them a bunch of questions. They really get to the bottom of what they need. But when I introduce myself, when I am talking about who I am, what I do, I always lead with the big names we're working with. Hey, you know, Impact Media, we work with some of the biggest names, NBC Sports, Nissan. I haven't told them that, listen, the reason that I do what I do is because I literally didn't have anywhere to live. I was sleeping on my office floor. I was $30,000 in debt and we hadn't paid ourselves or rent in 3 months. And do you know what fixed it? Was what we do today. That's what saved our business, because I'm insecure that makes me look weak. So I always lead with, man, I got to prove them. I'm a big deal. Look at these clients I'm working with. And I'll be the first to admit it. That's why I lead with those. And you saying that really kind of wakes me up to the fact as well.
You know what, Luke? When you just said that you were $30,000 in debt, sleeping on your floor, it reminds me of the time when I was almost homeless 5 years ago to now a keynote speaker. So when you tell me that, and you show me where you come from, I'm more likely to hire you.
Yeah, I love that.
Because hey man, you're showing me.
You're getting a commission because it's real.
You're showing me that you're a person. And you're not showing me that you're not just superficial. There's a real substance behind Luke Nessler.
That's powerful. Marcus, you're helping a lot of people now, man. What are you doing now? You have an exciting event coming up in Vegas, your academy on May 17th and 18th. What's that all about? What are you doing at those things?
It is a two-day conference where we have people that come in to speak on topics like leadership, branding, marketing, how to communicate, you know, all that kind of great stuff, networking. I'm a big believer, Luke. The only way people can actually get an ROI back for my sponsors or attendees is to let them network. So I'm big on networking, meeting people. People from the NFL come out, former people from the former players, league office people, small business owners, Fortune 500 companies like the Home Depot, New York Life, MetLife. They all come out. It's people that are celebrities, you know, it's a great place to come to really get your business out on a national level in front of a multitude of businesses, professionals, retired athletes, current athletes, different sports figures. And we really focus on all of our people getting to get that personal interaction. So I've had so many sponsors, Luke, from the past, hey, Marcus, investing in your business was the best thing I've ever did. I picked up more business. I got more social media attention. I'm getting more clients and I share the knowledge and I share my contacts like an open book, because once you start sharing with people, that's how you start getting money back in return.
I love that.
You start to open up to other people, Luke. That's when you start to reap life's greatest rewards.
Who needs to come to your event? What's the ideal person for your event? What do they look like?
Anyone who is trying to grow their business, anyone who's trying to improve on leadership skills, networking, marketing, branding, speaking, and communication, anyone who feels like they're stuck in a rut where they haven't had a chance to meet new clients. And here's a problem. Like in business, we have two things we have to worry about, time and money. So I put together this event so you can invest dollars, but also you can basically help, you know, reduce the time necessary. We have so many people in one location that are there looking to do business.
I love it. Where can they find more about the event? Where can we get tickets to it at?
www.ogdenleadership.com is my website.
Got it. Love it. Marcus, I always ask this question. If you had to go back to square one and you're starting your career over again, what is your one go-to that you would leverage to get attention on yourself and what you're doing?
I would honestly say that it is, for me, is that life-changing moment. And the life-changing moment for me was when I got spoiled milk on my skin when I was a janitor making $8.25 an hour on the graveyard shift. And I was working in downtown Raleigh. I was hardworking. I was fortunate to have a job, but I felt degradation because I had lost my home, my cars, everything was gone. I would have learned to be open and tell my story with more consistency right out of the gate. I tried to say, oh, I'm an NFL former athlete. Oh, you know, I'm building a speaking career. Oh, you know, I work with these kind of clients, you know, and coaching their kids in football. And I forgot that the one thing that makes me is my struggles that I went through. So yeah. I would come out of the gate leaning more on what I have struggled with and how I plan to overcome them as my calling card. Because that's now everybody knows I've been bankrupt. Everybody knows I've been in debt. Everybody knows that I lost my home and car. Everybody knows that. But I'm okay with that because it's the truth. It happened, and it is what it is. And if I hadn't gone through that, I wouldn't be sitting here today as a very well-known inspirational speaker who can talk about an array of topics.
Yeah, that's something to learn from, guys. Listen, Marcus has been through a lot, and he's been at the top of, at least in America, what we look at as the pinnacle. You know, you have your actors and you have your athletes. All right. Marcus has been the top of the top, and Marcus, you played for 5 years. So it wasn't like you were on just the practice squad for a season. This guy has been mega successful. And he just said what he would lead with, and I'm getting cold chills saying this, is the struggles. So when you're putting your stuff out there, why do you do what you do? That's something that I've even had to get better with over the last 6 to 12 months. Why do I do what I do? It's not just the job. When you can really prove to somebody that what you do isn't just a job and a way for you to make money, that you're there for a much greater purpose, then people start to resonate with it. Marcus, where else can people find you on social media?
They can find me on Instagram, which is at Marcus Ogden, M-A-R-Q-E-S-O-G-D-E-N. Facebook is my name, Marcus Ogden. I'm on LinkedIn. And I'm on Twitter, Marcus_Ogden is Twitter. And then I'm MOgden71 is my Snapchat. Awesome. Again, it's, you know, at the Academy, Luke, I'm big on networking, people enhancing revenue, and putting people in the room that should be working together to help them reach the common goal of success. That's just what I've been built on, and that's just what I do.
You got to follow this guy. I've just from checking his content out and getting to know him over the last month or so, have learned a tremendous amount. He's a great follow. You definitely want to be at the event in May, May 17th and 18th in Las Vegas. And listen, this podcast, it's all about bringing people to you like Marcus. The way we're going to get the word out about this podcast is if you rate, review, and subscribe to it on iTunes. That's how we get discovered. We just want to help people figure out this confusing roadmap of how do I get attention and turn it into dollars. The best way we can do that is to tell stories like Marcus has. Also, you can watch us live on Facebook by searching Luke Nessler and subscribing to the Facebook page, as well as YouTube and subscribing to that. Marcus, man, I'm looking forward to doing some stuff with you. And we will definitely be seeing more of you here in the future, man.
Sound like a plan to me. I look forward to it.
Thanks, Marcus. We'll talk soon. Thanks for being here.
Sounds good.
Is your business struggling right now? You might think that it's because you don't have enough sales, but the reality is it's because you don't have the attention of the marketplace. This is Attention Equals Dollars. You deserve more. Your business deserves more. And I'm here to teach you everything that I know on how to get the attention that you need and to turn that attention into dollars.